in 10 drivers in the West Midlands has admitted falling asleep at the wheel. The survey carried out by the road safety charity Brake also shows that more than half say they've driven knowing they're too tired and that it's dangerous. Dr. Neil Stanley is an independent sleep expert. He told us people are wrong to think that they'll be okay if they have a cup of coffee first.
We think we'll be all right, we'll wind the window down, we'll turn the music up, neither of which actually work, but it does cause a lot of accidents on the road and a lot of fatalities come down to people falling asleep at the wheel.
West Midlands Ambulance Service say one of their ambulances has had to be taken off the road after a pint glass was thrown at the windscreen. It happened in Chelmsley Wood in the early hours of New Year's Day. The driver wasn't hurt, but the windscreen is having to be replaced, so the vehicle can't be sent to emergencies at one of the busiest times in the history of the ambulance service. Finally, Elvis Presley's two private jets, the Hound Dog 2 and the Lisa Marie, complete with gold taps and wash basins, have been put up for auction in the United States. They've been on display at Graceland for the past 30 years. They're expected to fetch at least $10 million. The weather, the rain will clear by this afternoon and the top temperature today will be around 6 Celsius, 43 Fahrenheit. With clear skies tonight, there'll be a widespread frost, very cold too. Temperatures going right down to minus 4 tonight, that's 25 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News, there's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
You should take in other religions and treat them as you would want to be treated yourself.
We are even more intelligent. They treated me with the utmost respect.
Ian Lee, Saturdays,
9 till 12.
Thank you, Molly.
WM 95.6.
I have a week off or something, and I forget how the whole system works. Morning. So I've got sinusitis. How are you guys doing? Yeah. Huh? My whole face feels like it's being worn by someone else who's got a bigger head than me. Do you know what I mean? Wowzers. My eyes, I think, are going to pop out. Never mind. Should be fun. I've taken drugs. Legal drugs, guys. Come on, for goodness sakes. Christmas is over. Lots to talk about on the show this morning. I mean, constipated goldfish, anybody? Racist three-year-olds and the right to die? Happy New Year.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453-009956.
BBC WM 95.6.
So I've literally not even started. I've started now and I'm getting complaints on Twitter. Can you believe this, Joe? Complaints. Can we please have the New Year's Day episode on the iPlayer, please? I've paid my licence fee, says Ironbridge Nige.
They're checking it out.
They're checking it out. We did perhaps the greatest radio show ever done, and it went out on New Year's Day between 9 and 11, and boy, I was up then. Where were you? And now nobody can listen to it.
I know.
It's like Smile by the Beach Boys. It's the great lost album, guys.
It'll be available soon.
Available soon. That'll keep you on your toes, won't it? Listen, let's be honest. It's a new year. Christmas is long gone, but work hasn't properly started for you lazy slackers yet. So I'm expecting it to be quiet on the phones this morning. Also, there's not a lot in the newspapers. Well, there is. There's a really big story in the newspapers that we can't talk about. For obvious reasons. It's a BBC cover-up. No, it's not. It's a legal minefield. And you know what? It's a minefield I have no intention of approaching today. Yeah? Call it a BBC cover-up if you want. I don't want to get my ass sued by the royal family. So good luck with that one. So that story to one side, there's not a lot in the newspapers. Ha, 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 ha. 03453-009956. We'll talk... A mixed bag today. I mean, let me go through some of the things I've got listed here. Dry January, Jihadi Bristol, footballers' houses, Nando's and posh spas. Those are just some of the things coming up. Oh, and the right to die. First of all, though, I didn't get to do this story on yesterday's show, and lots of the papers the last 10 days have just been recycling the same stories. So this was in, it's in some of today's papers, it was in some of yesterday's, and it was in, I think, kind of last week as well. Devoted pet owner spends £300 to save his goldfish after it became constipated. Now listen, I love my cat Velvet, right? And she was very, very poorly once, and we never found out what was wrong with her. Never found out. But I gave her to the vet, and I said, whatever it costs, fix her. She's my little girl. This was probably about 6 years ago, gosh. And so she would have been 10, 9 or 10. And whatever it costs, fix her. And the vet's going, I don't think this is going to be covered by the insurance. I don't care, fella. You just keep doing it. In the end, the bill came to £6,000. Now, most of it was covered by the insurance. I think I paid about £500, I think. I think I paid about £500. Most of it was covered by the insurance. But I would have paid that. I would have paid that for the cat. I would have paid that for the cat. I would have paid it for one of my children. I'm not saying which one. And I would have paid it for the cat. I wouldn't spend £300 on a flipping goldfish, though. Goldfish owners, can you... 03453-00956. What's the point of them? They're the most rubbish pet in the world. And I know, because I've had about 26 of them. Not 26 if my children are listening. I've had two of them, Rocky and Reed. And they lasted for... those bloody fish. Oh, God. They just kept dying. They kept dying. They'd last about 2 days. And so then we'd get another one. And I'd follow the instructions of putting the bag in the water and then putting a little bit of the tank water into the bag. And you spend like 3 days doing... And then they just die. They would just die. The number of... And do you know what? The first time I flushed those fish down the toilet, I said a little word. I said a little prayer. By the 18th time, I was just chucking them out the window. I couldn't care less. Rubbish pets. And then we finally got them to live for about 4 months. And we had it. We had that they were going to stay alive. We had them. They were great. Fantastic. And then we moved house. And the move was an absolute nightmare. We left our house at midday and we didn't get into the new house until 9 o'clock at night. And for that 9 hours, I was sat in my car with a goldfish tank and a cat in a box. Flippin' heck. What's the point of goldfish? Most pets I can get. I don't like dogs, but I get why people get, you know, they want something they can bully. So they get dogs. And cats is because you want intelligent, loving company. And birds because you're a deviant. But I don't get fish. Man spent £300 on an operation to save his goldfish after it became constipated. Operation was carried out by a vet in Norfolk. Norfolk. The thing is, this is what you're supposed to do with constipated fish. You're supposed to give them peas. You're supposed to feed them mushy peas. I like the mushy peas. You feed them that, greens, and it clears out their digestive system, or you chuck them away and you go and spend another £1.50 in the pet shop. You can't have an emotional attachment to a blooming fish, can you? No. Here's the story of what I like to call, I don't want to call the gentleman an idiot, but a devoted pet owner has spent £300 on saving the life of his goldfish after it became constipated. The man, who's not been named, took the fish, to the veterinary practice in Norfolk after noticing, here's a phrase, it was struggling to eliminate waste. He had hoped it would be a simple procedure, but was told by staff at the Tollbarn Veterinary Centre the delicate surgery required would cost £300. And then there's a picture of a fish having an operation done. I cannot think of anything more ridiculous. Vet Faye Bethel, 29, was tasked with administering anaesthetic before using tiny instruments to remove a lump close to the fish's backside. Now, listen, we've all seen fish poo. It's a very straight, it's that kind of long, stringy stuff. And this was another thing about having fish. I would feel embarrassed when I was looking at it and it was doing a poo. I'd feel embarrassed. But have they actually got a sphincter? How does that work? Morning, Daz. We're talking about fish doing poos. A second lump was removed from his dorsal fin before the fish was returned to water and handed back to his grateful owner. Ms. Bethel said the 3-inch fish made a full recovery after the 50-minute operation and said it would have died if it was left untreated. Guys, come on. Okay, there are several tangents we can take on this one. And the next thing we're going to talk about is the right to die in humans. I know, there's no delicate way of manoeuvring between the two stories. It's one of those days. The most you have spent on your pet, please, in terms of, just in terms of saving it. Didn't we speak? Oh, we spoke to that bonkers woman, didn't we? Sorry. We spoke to that delightful lady who had spent like thousands resuscitating her dog after it got caught in a fire. I mean, she was, yeah, let's get her back. Don't tell her I called her bonkers on air. Tell her I said she was absolutely wonderful, and of course everybody would do the same thing. And can someone please explain to me the attraction of fish as pets? They don't do nothing. They don't do nothing. They're fish. They're boring. You can't even touch, you can't even lick them. 03, it's going to be a really odd show today, trust me. Don't worry, we'll get through this together. 03453. 009956. Ms. Bethel, the vet, who, and let's be honest, if you're a vet, that's a license to just print money, isn't it? Seriously, you take your pet in for anything, that'd be 150 quid, please. What? Ms. Bethel then used get this, Dave. Dave? Oh, could you set my lines up, Joe? Sorry, I don't know how to... I've been doing this job for many years. I don't know how to run a studio. Haven't got a clue. Dave, you there?
Oh, I am, yeah.
Listen to this, Dave. Thank you, Joe. She said, I've never done a procedure like this on a goldfish. The surgery is quite straightforward. The issue was the fish couldn't poo.
Yeah, well...
Oh, this is awful. Ms. Bethel then used a miniature heart rate monitor to check the fish was properly under before using a mini scalpel to remove the lumps. She then sewed each cut with 3 stitches before using a special underwater fish glue to cover and waterproof the fish's scales before it was gradually reawakened. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well... It cost me $2,500 with my cat.
Well, yeah, but that's a cat. What was wrong with your cat, David?
What was wrong with Al? Well, he went in for blood tests, yeah. And he weren't very well on the night. I was taking back in because I nearly lost him. He had a seizure.
Oh, blimey.
They put him on 40 core and thyroid tablets.
Yeah.
10 days later, he went in.
Yeah.
Had his thyroid done and 4 teeth out the same day.
Blimey.
And we was all, even the vet, we was all like, this ain't going to be good.
Yeah.
I was in bits. And he phoned me and he showed me the graph. In his heart rate never moved all the way through the operation. And then there was the money for the aftercare as well.
Now, did you have insurance, Dave?
No.
You're a plum. You are a plum, sir.
Can't afford it.
No, well, yeah, but if you had the insurance, then you wouldn't have had to spend $2,500 on the cat.
Yeah, but would you spend $2,500 on one of your kids?
On the youngest one, probably not the eldest, the way he's been behaving recently. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Liz Saul.
Morning, Ian. It's not looking too bad on the road so far this morning. If you are a Blues fan, heading up to Tyne and Wear for this afternoon's FA Cup game, the M42, M1, A1M all looking okay so far. Wolves fans are going in the other direction, down to London for their game against Fulham at the M40, the M25 and M4 also both all looking clear so far this morning. There are delays on train services through our patch. It's because of emergency engineering works at Lichfield Trent Valley, means services are delayed by up to 30 minutes. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel 08453 00228. 88.
Bob Warman, Nick Owen, Anchormen. That's what it says here.
Chris Tarrant.
Meet the West Midlands' very own Anchormen.
There's the amount of people who come and say to you, I grew up watching you.
I grew up watching
these people in their 40s.
The story of the outrageous success that was Tis Was.
Tis Was set the tone for every Saturday morning children's programme.
And catch up with the most famous stupid boy of them all.
Well, if it's on over Christmas, that means we can go to the pub.
Yeah. God bless you. You're a very nice man.
Oh, thank you. It's been such fun talking to you at last.
Chris Tarrant. Listen again online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Tarrant's show's online again. The New Year's Day show that producer Joe and I slaved over. I say slaved over. I mean, we just sat there and spoke. But the show that we did, Joe, they've not bothered to put online yet. But Tarrant's online. I mean, Tarrant.
Is it definitely? Have you checked that?
What, that Tarrant's online? Yeah. Well, we're saying he is, and we're the BBC. We would never lie to you. Would we?
No.
Dave there is, you've got pets. Have you got insurance?
Have,
of course,
yes.
You have, because he said, "Well, I can't afford. What did he say? He couldn't afford the insurance. That's what he was saying. But then he had to spend $2,500 on a cat.
The insurance does get expensive when you're. I was going to say children. When your cats or dogs get older, though, doesn't it?
My
become a bit. Come, ooh, is it worth it?
My insurance now is Bernie there with you.
She is.
Morning, Bernie. Morning. My insurance now for Velvet. She's 16 this year, and I've just changed insurers, and I think it's about $200 a year.
It's quite a lot, isn't it? Considering that you probably won't use it.
Well, but then it saved me $5,500.
And there'll be loads of things it doesn't cover now that she's old.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, here's a thing. By the way, I'm such an old man, right? So my buildings and contents insurance with the same company. I know this is so boring, but this is. I'm going to be 42 this year. I had a premonition when I was 17. I would die at the age of 42. Genuinely.
Quite cheery.
I know. I'm panicking. Anyway. This is the kind of thing that excites me. So, every year, my buildings and contents insurance with the same company. Never made a claim on it in my life, right? The bill comes through this year, buildings and contents. It's gone up by £100, right, to £730. Buildings and contents, £730. And I phoned them up. I said, just wonder why it's gone up. It's just gone up. I said, yeah, I've never made a claim. I've been with you for 5 years. I've never made a claim. And I was doing that, hoping that they'd go, we can do a deal kind of thing. And they went, oh, there's nothing we can do. I said, put me through to the department, the cancellation department. Because that's the phrase. That, then the alarms start going off. She went, that's me. And I said, nothing you can do. She went, no. And I went, and normally I'd go, oh, go on then, all right. Because I couldn't be bothered with the hassle. I thought, no, I'm not having this. I went online, price comparison. I saved £500. Buildings and contents, £259.
No.
£500.
Same sort of cover?
Exactly the same cover. £500. I'm living the dream. I went and spent that on frivolities. Is that a word?
Frivolities.
Thank you. 03453 00956. That's the kind of stuff that gets me excited as I approach 42. £500 on insurance I saved, though. Flipping heck. And then I took great pleasure in phoning up my original insurer and saying, yes, I've just saved £500. I'd like to cancel this policy if you don't mind. 03453 00956 is the telephone number. If you've got a pet and you haven't got insurance, you're a mug. You're a mug. I'm sorry, Dave, but you are. Because your pet, you'd spend anything trying to save it. But the goldfish, I don't understand the goldfish. Fish are not pets. They're just things, aren't they? They're useless. 03453 00956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Now, there's a story. Where is this? It's in the Daily Mail today. And it's kind of one of those ones that pops up. By the way, you can call in about anything. I mean, it really is a very random news day today in that there's not a lot going on. So anything you want to have a talk about, apart from that. Okay, you can call in about anything apart from that, right? Not approaching that royal legal minefield, nothing to do with me, boss. Not talking about that. Everything else, open season, 03453 00956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. There's a story that caught my eye, that always catches my eye, because I kind of, It kind of fascinates me. It's kind of a regular thing that pops up. The assisted suicide, the right to die. Now, earlier this week, Debbie Purdy died. She was the Right to Die campaigner that 51-year-old from Bradford had lived with primary progressive multiple sclerosis for almost 20 years. And she'd been a huge campaigner on trying to work out exactly what the rights were, the legal ramifications were of assisted suicide and the ramifications on partners who may have helped and all of that. And, well, she passed away last year, and that was very, very sad. Passed away this week, which was very sad. Now, the Mail have got a story. Another woman who's got MS and had it for 18 years, Hillary Freeman, who is arguing again for the right to be able to take her own life if and when that situation arises. Now, the reason this kind of intrigues me so much partly is the MS thing. My mum's got MS, and I've had that conversation with her. There's a fun conversation to have with your mum. You ever thought about killing yourself? She went, yeah, I have, actually, and I've decided not to. But it's still kind of left hanging there a little bit. I'd love your thoughts on this. 03453 009956. Paul Chamberlain suffered from motor neurone disease and campaigned for a change in the law to allow assisted suicide. You probably remember he died last year. Well, Sally is Paul's wife and joins me on the line. Morning, Sally.
Good morning. Good morning.
This story is one that will not go away. Why was it so important for Paul? Just for those who don't know, just tell us a little bit about Paul and his story.
Well, Paul campaigned passionately with dignity in dying, because he wanted the assisted dying law changed so that people could have a much greater control at the end of their life. So he died in 2nd of September this year, ironically, it was the way that the MND was affecting him. Mm. It was affecting his ability to breathe unaided, which in the end did allow him some control over his death by refusing ventilation.
So he made the conscious decision to stop using machinery, I would imagine, to help him breathe.
Yes, and that he made that conscious decision, and he went into the hospice for one night only. He was the rest of the time at home here with me, being looked after very well by carers. And he had a very peaceful death in the end, which was what he wanted. But it was only because of the fact that his breathing became so bad. He was on a ventilator 24 hours a day.
Sally, the first time he brought up the subject of assisted suicide...
Yes.
How did that conversation go? How was that for you as his wife?
Well... I thought it would be a great comfort to him in particular if the law had been in place for assisted suicide.
Mm.
And for him and for my sons Andrew and Mark. But there was no law in place, and Paul campaigned, you know, tirelessly to try and help to get this law passed.
And what do we, Sally, just for my own clarification, what do we mean exactly by assisted suicide? Do we mean a British doctor helping someone to pass over, or do we mean a family member flying someone to Switzerland, for example?
Now, what we mean by it is that you have two doctors to certify that you are mentally competent and you are making a rational and well-informed decision on your own without persuasion from anybody else, and that the doctors will then... Once that has been agreed, the doctors will then help you out of this world.
I don't know if you heard, but I have had this conversation with my mum, who's got MS, and she's got it very, very badly. She's 64. She lives in a care home. She can do very little for herself. And I had this conversation with her, and she said that she had considered it. She looked at the possibilities, but she decided against it. And I do struggle to see an argument against this. Sally.
Well, I struggle to see. I struggle hugely to see an argument against it. I think it is inhumane. If you have an animal and he's sick, you take him to the vet and the vet makes sure that he doesn't suffer anymore, and he's put down. This doesn't seem to be applying to human beings. Except that in the Netherlands and Belgium and Oregon in the US, there has been assisted dying laws where there's been no evidence of abuse.
Well, this is that there are two arguments I hear. whenever I talk about this on air. One is the this would prey on the vulnerable, and that people would be killed who perhaps didn't want to. They've been persuaded to or coerced to by family members.
You know. I understand that. I can understand the argument that, you know, that you have an auntie, and an old auntie, and she's persuaded to take her life, maybe because she's got a lot of money and somebody wants to inherit the money. But you've got to have two doctors to certify that you are mentally competent and you're making a rational decision, as I said just now. And, I don't think... I can't see how it would happen.
The other argument is the religious argument, particularly the Christian argument,
yeah,
that it's sinful to take someone's life. That only God can decide when you go. What would you say to those people?
I just don't think that argument. I mean, the thing is, the people who have those views, they are entitled to have those views, and they can do what they like, but they shouldn't take away the views of anyone else who isn't religious. Or, you know, we should all have our own autonomy on this.
Mm. Is it ever going to happen in this country, realistically, Sally, do you
think?
Well,
I think it will. I think it will.
It's taken a long time, isn't it?
It is, but I think that I think it is taking a long time, but I think that in the next 5 to 10, certainly in the next, within 10 years, it will be in place. That's my opinion.
And how was Christmas, Sally? The first Christmas without Paul. Must have been hard work.
Well, it was very nice. I went to my son Mark's in Bow, and my other son was there, and we had a very lovely
fantastic
Christmas. It was strange without Paul, yeah, but I still enjoyed it.
Good. Well, listen, Sally, congratulations on all the work that you and Paul have done throughout the years, and I wish you a happy 2015.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sally. Sally Chamberlain. It's one of those things. I really struggle to see an argument against this. Maybe you've got one. 03453 009956. When my dad was dying a couple of years ago, it was horrible. Everyone's, you know, cancer. Apparently, the best way to go. Yeah, apparently, it's the best way to go. I'm not convinced by that. If he at one point had said, "You know what, son? Can you help me get out of this?" I would have done it. I think I would have done it. I don't know what I would have done, but if he'd have said, "Son, I can't take this anymore. Can you, can you do?" I would have done it with barely a moment's hesitation. 03453 009956. Hillary Freeman is writing in the mail today, 54 and 55. It's well worth a read. That she says, "This is why I, like Debbie Purdy, want the law changed to allow assisted dying in this country. I know it's a controversial view, and no one was more shocked than I to read in this paper yesterday of the situation in Holland, where people who are not terminally ill are helped to die by medics. Ours is a country where we let vets put dying animals down, but insists that people carry on living in agony. This I find particularly frightening. Just like Debbie, I have multiple sclerosis, a neurological condition that can cause anything from blurred vision and slurred speech to blindness and paralysis. I know full well the horror of receiving the initial diagnosis and the constant worry that your symptoms might be worsening. Surely in this day and age, no one should have to go through that." 03453 009956.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Malcolm.
Hello.
I'd really need to blow my nose.
That's all right. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got the startings, Malcolm, of sinusitis.
Oh, yeah.
So my head is full of what can only be described as mucus.
Yeah, I get that.
Flipping. Awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
My head is... It feels like it weighs a ton.
Oh, no, it's
and
terrible.
And I'm sweating like a pig. Do pigs actually sweat?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if a pig... I've never seen a sweaty pig.
No.
They don't sweat.
Well, they reckon they get sunburned, don't they? So I don't know.
They get sunburned. No, do you know what? Pigs don't sweat. Of course they don't sweat. That's why they wallow in the mud, to keep them
probably
cool. It's a fact. I've just remembered. I know things.
Yeah.
Anyway, Malcolm, you've called in on a rather random show. What would you like to say, boss?
Well, listen, I listened to you yesterday. Did you get me? She said, tell you Happy New Year.
Hang on, who was his message passed to? Producer Joe?
No, somebody I know here said, tell him Happy New Year.
What do you mean somebody you know here? Who?
No, what? Somebody, yes, don't worry about it. Don't worry, just...
Joe, is he talking about you?
No, get off.
Of course, I
wouldn't drop it in like that.
So hang on a minute, who? Right, first of all, by the way, can we just say, right, just stop.
Oh dear,
you're cackling like a lunatic. Steady.
No, listen.
No, just let's have no more Happy New Years. It's done. Let's just come on now. I'm like that. I don't believe it now.
I think it's...
When I get home today, that Christmas tree and all those decorations had better be taken down.
I know. The missus has got all our Christmas cards still up here. And I said, what are you got them up for? Come on. Oh, now it's tradition, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, forget that. Is it Twelfth Night?
Listen, anyway...
Yes, fun banter, Malcolm. On to the meat now.
What I phoned in for was, I said to the girl on the phone, I said, if you don't get many calls on the subjects that you want to talk about, I said, why don't you, ask the subject that you might get lots more phone-ins about why our public transport system in the West Midlands is not working properly.
So what you're saying is, you said to Bernie on the phones, if you don't get many calls, put me on, and so they've put you on.
Well, we're desperate.
Malcolm's desperate to tell you, really.
Yes. I said to tell you that, really, but she phoned me up.
Well, it's not a message service. It's a phone-in show.
No, I know it is, but I just thought it might help you save me rabbiting to you. But anyway, that's what I just thought might be a good idea for you.
Okay, so I still don't know what your topic is. What buses?
Just to ask the people of Birmingham and the West Midlands if they're satisfied with their public transport system as it is now, so to speak.
Okay, so people will either phone up and say yes, or they will phone up and say no, and then
and you turn around and say, well, why?
Okay.
Why, I'll
tell you what, Malcolm, I'll do it with you.
Yeah, go on then.
Are you happy with your public transport service in the West Midlands, Malcolm?
No, I'm not.
Tell me why.
Because they don't want to run the buses, especially the buses, where most people that have to use them day in, day out would like to go. And they haven't got a lot of the amenities in the bus shelters, and they haven't got proper bus shelters where they should
be. Hang on a minute. What amenities would you like in a bus shelter? You want a bench?
No, that's what they call them, don't they? If you speak to Centro, they call bus stops, bus shelters, the real times, and all this sort of thing, the amenities for the public transport.
All you need is... Hey, do you remember... I don't think you get these bus shelters anymore, apart from in old villages. The ones that look like little huts...
Yeah.
And you'd sit in there. The thing is, they were pointless because you'd sit in there and you couldn't see the road. Where I used to live, you couldn't see the road and the buses would go past. You'd miss the buses.
Them are the ones in the country, the old-fashioned. I'm on about the ones here. The ones here in the West Midlands, they keep changing them around. But in places where they've got great massive pavements, they put these little half shelters in and they're a waste of space. Especially, shall I say, in this side, in Northfield side, because... Yes. When it's windy, you get the wind blowing up from Bristol straight across the top of the Lickey Hills.
You get the wind blowing up your Bristols.
And they've got great wide footpaths.
Malcolm.
Yes.
Just chill out. Relax. Let it go, man. Okay. Let it go.
Yeah, right,
let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
You're definitely going to make it rain worse now.
Shut up. What are you talking about? Have you ever seen Frozen?
Frozen? What do you mean, seen Frozen?
Okay, I'll try again. Have you ever seen Frozen?
Frozen.
Of course
I've seen Frozen things.
What's your favourite song in it?
Oh, I see what you mean. No, I've never heard of that. Have you never seen Frozen? No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You should go and... This is what you need, Malcolm. Forget banging on about bus stops and amenities and wind blowing up your Bristols. Go to Blockbusters. No, hang on. Go and rent a copy of Frozen. Buy a copy of Frozen. It's like £6 in petrol stations.
Where am I going to play it on?
Have you got a DVD?
No. I'm a pensioner. We can't afford
pensioners have DVD. Hang on a second. Beryl?
Hello?
Are you a pensioner?
I am.
I guess that by your name. Have you got a DVD player?
Have I got a DVD? Yes, well, I think I have, but I can't use it.
Right, well, I'm flipping it.
I can't see to do
things. Oh, blind.
There you go, see?
That would explain. But do. Oh, Malcolm.
See?
So, Beryl, you may or may not have a DVD. Beryl, do you still have the telly?
I do.
And do you listen to the telly?
Well, if I sit in the one chair close enough, I can see some of the pictures, but I can't see the writing.
Here's the thing. Do you have the thing? My nan used to have this. My nan, towards the end, when her eyes... My great-gran, actually, when her eyes weren't very good, she had this big sort of magnifying glass that was massive and on a stand, and she would put it in front of the telly, and it would make the telly bigger.
I've not done that.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Malcolm?
Well, yeah,
you've seen those.
I remember them. Things, yeah,
massive magnifying. But it would really distort the picture.
Yeah.
Malcolm, go and buy yourself a DVD player and a copy of Frozen and enjoy it.
Oh,
Ta-ta. Morning, Beryl.
Morning. Happy New Year, anyway.
No.
I'm ringing, really, about this assisted suicide.
Yes.
I mean, I totally agree with it.
Go on.
If it's your life, you should be allowed to do what you like with it. And when I get the doctors next time, I'm going to tell him.
Oh.
Because I'm going totally blind.
Yeah.
They've told me. And if I do, I've got nobody to live with.
Oh,
nobody.
Blimey.
No, I've got no relations.
Did you get any help, Beryl?
No, only in the garden.
Who comes and helps you in the garden?
Oh, well, I'd rather not say it,
I
want to remain anonymous, really.
OK, well, should we change your name, Beryl, to something else?
Well, no, I just want to say this. When I go to the doctors next time, I'm going to tell him, if I go totally blind, I cannot live alone. I don't want to depend on people, because I'm a very independent person.
Mm.
And I just want to go. All right. So if I do something, is not to say that I'm mental or anything.
No.
Because I'm not.
Beryl, have you not got any friends or family or anyone you can share this with?
No, I'm old and...
Oh, I'm sorry, love.
They've all gone. And I've only got one son who lives in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And of course he can't come that often because he works.
Yeah. And have you spoken to him about how you feel?
No. And I shan't.
Okay. No, I've got.
I can just tell the doctor, and I've just told you.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe in assisted suicide. All right then,
Beryl.
Yes.
I'm sensing you want to go, and if you want to go at any point, then that's absolutely fine. Do you? How long? I don't know how to phrase this, so this might sound clumsy. I apologise if this sounds clumsy. How long until you're completely blind? Do you think?
Well, I don't really know.
No.
It's something that. You know, it's worse in the one eye than the other.
Mm.
So I don't really know. And I mean, I'm 84 anyway.
Oh, blimey.
So, you know, you can hear I'm not mental or anything.
No, you sound completely... You sound more together than most of the callers we get on this show.
Thank you.
But have you not... I mean, because there... And I know you don't want to be dependent on anyone, but there are lots of people who go blind in later life who get a little bit of help, you know, around the home and with the shopping and stuff, but that they're still... They're still independent.
Yes, but you don't realise what it is to live alone.
No.
It's so lonely. And to be quite honest, it's that gets to me, the loneliness of it. Because you can't have people with you all the time.
No.
So you've got to spend the nights alone. So that's what I can't stand. So anyway, that's what I say about assisted suicide, all right?
All right, Beryl.
All right.
Hey, listen, I'm here every Saturday between 9 and 12. Would you give me a call next week?
Yes, and I always listen to WM.
Who's your favourite?
Adrian.
Adrian Goldberg.
I listen to him a lot.
He's not bad, is he?
No.
What do you reckon to Danny Kelly?
Yes, I listen to him, and I'll tell you what I would like you to say.
Go on.
You know, at night.
Yes.
After 10 o'clock, if they'd play some soothing music.
I know what you mean.
Instead of this loud, because you can't hear what they say anyway, the singers.
I know. Listen, I'm now getting to the age, Beryl, where I know what you mean. I want a bit of Perry Como or a bit of Dean Martin.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Something like
Matt Munro.
I mean, I'm listening, I'm looking forward to that programme tonight that's on the television about Frank Sinatra.
Oh, is there a Sinatra programme on?
Yes, at 7 o'clock.
Oh, blimey, I'll set the video for that.
Yes,
Harsh.
I like a bit of old blue eyes. Well, Beryl, listen, will you give me a call next week, love?
Yes, I will do.
Take care of yourself. Don't do anything silly.
Oh, well, I wouldn't dream of it.
Okay, good girl.
You see, I don't think of it silly.
Do you know what? Yeah, you're right. You're right to put me up on that. Thank you. Cause,
all right, then. Yeah.
All right, take care, Beryl.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, dear. Well, that makes you think, doesn't it, eh? That makes you think. A, makes me think, oh, brilliant, there's a Frank Sinatra programme on tonight. I'll tape that. But B, poor Beryl. Probably sounds a bit patronising. I don't mean it to. There's no way of expressing, you know, kind of thoughts around that, is there? I didn't know what to say to Beryl Jo, really. She's kind of made her mind up and she's very determined. As she said, she's not, to use her phraseology, mental. She's completely with it. Isn't that sad?
But if somebody went to visit her, maybe, or, you know, then it wouldn't happen, would it?
Beryl's my... don't let her know. She's my long-term project.
Okay.
We'll get her phoning up every week and we'll gently make her... I was going to say open her eyes, inappropriate phrase. We'll gently make her aware maybe there are other possibilities around. Okay. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll speak to Beryl next week. Thank you for that call, Beryl. Nice to talk to you. 03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Already it's one of those shows, the best shows are, I think, where it's all a little bit random on the veranda. If you've been in Beryl's situation, if you've been in a situation that's perhaps slightly similar to Beryl's, in that you are older and perhaps lonely, and I kind of made up from her that the loneliness was the more important factor than the blindness, to a certain extent. Any suggestions? I don't. Any suggestions? And I don't want people phoning up with offers of help for her, because that's not kind of... those things, it's very nice, but they don't really work. It doesn't really work like that. 03453-009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So far, where have we gone? Frank Sinatra... blindness, the right to die, and spending £300 on a goldfish. Flippin' heck. A goldfish? Fish, I do like pets, and I'm a big fan of pets, and you know what, Beryl, you'd do well with a cat, Beryl. Although they're conniving little so-and-so's cats. And if you can't see them, they can hide anywhere. But why would anyone spend £300 to fix a goldfish when they cost £1.50? You can't become emotionally attached to a goldfish. It doesn't work like that. You can't, because they're fish. Fish are horrible little things anyway, aren't they? Thoroughly unpleasant little things. 03453. 009956. If you want to send me a text, you can. 81333. Start your text, WM. You can also send me an email. Ian.Lee, IAIN.LEE at bbc.co.uk. Should we get a bit of travel? What's happening, Liz?
Not an awful lot, actually, Ian. It's moving nicely on the main routes around Birmingham and the Black Country. As you head further along, of course, Blues fans are off to Blyth for their match on Tyne and Wear this afternoon. The M42, M1, no delays reported. On the M1, there are the roadworks going on around junctions 28 to 31, so just be aware of that. And the A1M is looking OK. Wolves fans going completely the opposite direction, down to West London, around Fulham for their game this afternoon. The M40 is clear so far. No delays on the M25 or onto the M4 as you head into the capital. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel 08453 00228.
Middleton,
Mile Oak,
Moseley,
Oldbury,
Pattingham.
Have your say across the West Midlands.
BBC WM 95.6.
I think I just coughed up a small animal. Sajid's in Solihull. Good morning, Sajid.
Good morning, mate. It's there's a couple of actually issues. The first one is like the lady that spoke, Beryl, I think it was.
Beryl, yep.
Yes. Now, a few weeks ago, I picked this lady up. I'm a taxi driver, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked this
up. Not just a romantic. Okay, good. Yes.
No. I picked this lady up and... she's in about 40, 45 or something like that, she was. And it's like, basically, it's like, she she just all of a sudden she became a blind.
She what?
And she became a blind. She
became a blind. She became blind.
Yeah,
she yes.
Yeah. She yes. can't see. And what happened is like it took a few years. Yeah, and she was all depressed and everything. She used to get a little bit of a help from her daughter.
Yeah.
Then her daughter's gone to a university, which was out of Birmingham.
Yeah.
Now, and she was really depressed and everything. But then she got a great push from her friend. And now she's like, she does everything in the house herself. She lives alone. And on top of that, yeah. she's like, she goes to the gym 3 times a day.
Oh, 3 times a
sorry,
day?
Three times a week.
Thank you, Sajid. Good correction. Blimey.
Three times a week. First, she had a little bit of a house where the things are.
Yeah.
And now she's like, when she goes to the gym, she don't need to know where things are or anything like that. She just like goes in there, does a workout, and comes back out. And basically, it's like she just made herself into, like, you know, basically useful, really, like, you know, doing everything herself, even if she's blind.
And what, because listen, if I was given the news, right, Ian, you're going to go blind in a month, I would be, I'd feel suicidal, and I don't say that flippantly. What was it that kind of, that turned it around for this woman?
Well, she was, like, really upset and everything, but I was talking to her. She goes, I was really upset. But she never told me that she was actually that depressed that she was going to commit a suicide. And really, it's like, she basically accepted what happened to her. And that's, I think, everybody's got to accept everything. It's like,
whatever
happens to you, you've got to accept it.
Well, do you have to accept it though, Saji? Why do you have to accept it? Well, if it destroys your life, and with Beryl, I you know what, I think kind of one of the bigger things as well as the blindness was the loneliness. But
yeah.
do you don't have to accept it, do you? If you feel that is the end of your life, then you should surely have the right to end your life.
No, but it's like the thing is, you have to accept it. The reason is because you can't change it. First of all, whatever comes to you, you can't change it. In my religion, I'm a Muslim. In my religion, it's like committing a suicide is a big thing. You cannot take your own life.
But I don't understand why religion has to come into this argument.
And no, I'm not. I'm just saying it. It's like whatever illnesses and everything comes to you, it's like you go through all the illnesses and a hard time and everything. It's basically we take it as a test.
Yeah, no, I don't. The thing is, Sajid, listen, Sajid, I don't buy the test. I don't buy the test thing. My mum is being tested mercilessly. There's no test. It's bad. It's bad luck. It's not karma. It's not a test. It's not from God. It's bad luck.
But what kind of bad luck? I don't believe in bad luck.
Well, I don't believe in tests.
Yeah. Totally opposite, aren't we?
Yeah, totally. I still like you, Sajid. I'd still shake your hand and give you a hug, but we're totally opposites. Why would there be a God, right? Okay. Why would there be a God that would test people by making them really, really ill?
Yeah, but that's what the world is, isn't it? There's another life after the world, so it's like, it's because it's basically preparing for another life.
So when you die...
You know what it is? It's like... It goes really deep, and it's really long. And I don't think we can...
Oh, no, listen, I love these conversations. Sajid, when you die, right, and you go to I don't know what the Islamic heaven is called, so I'm going to just use the Western term and call it heaven.
It's a heaven.
It's called it, right, okay. So when you go to heaven, right, are you perfectly fit and well again?
Yeah.
Okay. And so the blind can see, the lame will walk.
You live in the age of, basically, I think it's about... between 20 to 25.
So everyone is 23 years old in heaven.
20, basically it's from 20 to 25, something like that.
What about the babies that died? What about the kids that died? What age are they?
Sorry?
What about the babies that died? What age are they?
You all are in the same age.
They're all 23?
Yeah, you're all in the same age. You got into the same category.
And but how could...
Basically, you live forever. There's no illnesses, there's no nothing like that.
It sounds really annoying.
All the blind people, all the thin people, they become basically fit and well. But
did you say the thin people?
No, I said ill people.
The ill. I'm sorry. This is Sajid. I'm going to let you go because it's not the best line. I thought he said all the thin people become well. He did. Anyway, God, that sound, and heaven sounds really annoying, doesn't it? It's full of fit 23-year-olds.
Yeah, but it's fine because you'll be one of them.
I didn't like being 23. Well, I look good because at 23 I didn't look good. I looked ill at 23.
But you won't. All the thin people won't be ill.
So will the ugly. And it sounds like I'm being flippant, and I kind of am a little bit. But I also genuinely mean this because I always think these conversations fire off like this. So please don't think I'm being offensive. But I think I'm growing into my looks, right? As a 40-odd year old man, I think I look better than I did at 23. Will the ugly 23-year-olds like me be good-looking 23-year-olds? Or will I be an ugly 23-year-old? Because I don't want that. I don't want to look like I did at 23. It looked horrible.
So would you rather be in heaven as 41?
Yeah. I think 40, 41 is kind of my peak, and then it's all downhill again. I've gone up and it's all back downhill.
Great question. How old would you be in heaven?
The thing, I love these conversations, and we can go and indulge this stuff because it's one of those shows. And is that the same? So that's in Islam. Is that the same in Judaism and Christianity and all the other religions? What age are you in heaven? There we go. I'm going to leave it at that. What age are you in heaven? 03453009956. It's Mohammed.
Hello there.
Morning, Mohammed.
Good morning to you.
Would you want to be 23 again?
I'm not going down that road. Thank you.
Very wise,
no,
very wise.
No. I've been reading the Quran this morning, but I haven't come across that one yet.
What you got for us, boss?
I was listening to Beryl, and I do understand where she's coming from, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not as old as Beryl. I wish I was 43, I was going to say.
A long time ago,
no,
brother.
I'm 63, right, yeah. You know, but, yeah, my life's all right. I've got a fair amount of health. I've had two hip operations, but, you know, I'm getting about, and I'm all right, and I'm not lonely. But because of the problems I've had in my life before, like, you know, I've got no family myself. And I've spoken to my doctor about this, and I've spoken to friends in the mosque about it, like, you know, that say I went to the doctors tomorrow and I develop a cancer, and they told me I've got cancer. The way I feel right now is that, okay, I don't want treatment for it, just let it go, because I don't want any more things happening to me, whereas I've been disabled before, I've been in a wheelchair, and I've struggled through that, and I've got my legs back, like, you know. But I don't want to be in that position that Beryl's talking about. I don't want to be in a home. I don't want people having to do everything for me, wash me, bathe me, take me to the toilet, do all this. I don't want all that. I really don't want that.
Now, here's something, right, because my mum is in a home and she has to have people do everything for her, as I've said. And I have said to my wife, if I get anything like my mum, I am checking out. I'm going. I'm not living like that.
I wonder,
Mohammed, if it's progressive. And because it's unlikely it would be an immediate thing that would put you in that position.
You're right, Yeah, because I got a friend from some time back who, she lives up in Yorkshire now, like, you know, she's a, and I said this to her many, many years ago, actually, I felt like this. And she said to me, she says, well, it would happen to you and you wouldn't even realise it's happening.
Yeah.
She says, you'd probably end up in a home and you wouldn't know that it had just crept up on you and you just started to get ill without you even realising.
And you would kind of accept it because it had been a slow progression as opposed to you wake up one day and you can't do anything.
I agree with what you're saying, yeah, because that's what she said to me. She said you wouldn't realise what's happening to you. But what listening to Beryl made me very sad, you know, because I used to live in an area and I knew this guy and his wife used to take him to the bus stop to go to work. He was totally blind. And I was talking to her one day after she put him on the bus. And what happened to him was he had something go in his eye in a factory in an accident. And he lost the one sight, his sight in one eye. And then walking down the road in the winter, he slipped on the ice, banged his head against the wall, and went blind in the other eye.
Oh, flipping heck.
And I thought to myself, oh, my God, if that happened to me, you know, I couldn't cope. I'd never be able to cope.
Yeah.
And And then you get the guy who phoned up about the lady in the taxi light, you know, all right, there's a lot of difference between Beryl and the girl in the taxi light, you know, she goes to the gym for... You ain't going to ask Beryl to go to the gym for a week, are you?
No.
She's 84, like, you know, I hope she's listening to this, like, you know, but there are people out there who would come and visit her, like I think your lady friend there who answered the phone said to you, you know, like, you know, she must... feel very lonely at 84 years old.
That was the thing I picked up over the blindness, was the loneliness.
Yeah, because loneliness can't... I mean, I'm lucky I can get out, but I wouldn't like to be stuck in here all day long on my own, like, you know, I don't know what I'd do. You got the radio, you got the television, but after that, what have you got at night?
Do you know what? I think it's a timely reminder that I'm really glad Beryl called up, because I think it's certainly given us all a little bit of pause for thought, hasn't it, really?
How lucky we are.
Yeah, exactly. Mohammed, listen, I've got to move on. I appreciate your call. Thank you. 03453-00956. Edgar's on the line. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning.
Edgar, how old are you in heaven?
I hear some stupid talkings, you know.
Excuse me?
I mean, listen, there's no age in heaven, okay?
Oh, and how do we know this?
Well, listen, there are things that you and I will not work out by science, by our imagination, and regardless of how we try to work it out.
Yes.
There are things that is only belonging to God, and the human minds cannot comprehend, because our brains, our minds are limited. God is infinite. Okay?
Yeah.
Every other man is human, and you are subject. This is why you cannot sit in the studio that you are in at the moment and tell that there's an accident in London unless somebody tells you. You are limited,
sorry?
Okay?
What? I'm asking how old you'd be in heaven. Has there been an accident in London that I've not heard about?
No, I'm trying to show you your limitation.
Okay, I'm aware of most of them, but I'm always keen to have more pointed out. Thank you.
Okay, right. So, there is no age in heaven. You talked about...
And how do you know this?
Well, of course, the scripture tells you.
Where does it say that?
If you guys would read the Bible and... Okay. Concentrate on what the Word of God says, because what we are trying to do, we are trying to fit God into our
mind. If there's no age in heaven, then, Edgar...
No age.
The question, how old would you be?
Well, listen, if there's no age...
Like 15?
Well, I cannot tell you that. The Bible did not tell me that.
30?
I cannot get into mysticism to give you something that I cannot prove.
Are you, and it sounds like I'm being flippant, and I genuinely, and I'm going to run out of time in a second, I'm interested in people's thoughts on this, right? Because none of us really know, Edgar. It's all a bit of guesswork.
Right.
Are you, when you go to heaven, Edgar, will you look like Edgar? Would I recognise you as Edgar?
No, listen, I am saying to you that belongs to the Almighty God, not humans, all right?
Right.
And also, Ian...
Are we naked?
We were born naked.
So we've been naked in heaven?
We were born naked. It's sin. If you goes back to the Bible, it's sin that let man know. Because when God created Adam, he was naked. And when Adam sinned, when God went down to visit him, he hid. And God said, "What? Where are you?" He says, "I was naked, so I'm hiding." So God said, "How do you know that you're naked?"
So we are ageless, and we are naked in heaven.
Well, again, I leave that to your imagination.
Thank you, Edgar. You have. What an imagination. Wowzers. Do you know what? I'm happy. It's the first proper show of the new year. I'm happy to throw this out. How old are you in heaven? And my tongue is ever so slightly touching the edge of my cheek, but I'm genuinely keen to hear your thoughts on this. 03453-00956. Oh! Saudi aeroplanes and racist kids as well soon.
The Voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Bang on 10 o'clock. Let's get the news. Here's Nicole Pullman.
Buckingham Palace has said any suggestion of impropriety by Prince Andrew with underage minors is categorically untrue. It issued the statement after he was named in court papers in the United States by a woman who claims she was forced to have sex with a number of men as a teenager, including the Duke of York when she was 17. The court is looking at the way prosecutors handled sex allegations against the financier Jeffrey Epstein. One in 10 drivers in the West Midlands has admitted falling asleep at the wheel. The survey carried out by the road safety charity Brake also shows that more than half say they've driven knowing they're too tired and it's dangerous. Dr. Neil Stanley is an independent sleep expert.
We think we'll be all right, we'll wind the window down, we'll turn the music up, neither of which actually work, but it does cause a lot of accidents on the road and a lot of fatalities come down to people falling asleep at the wheel.
West Midlands Ambulance Service say one of their ambulances had to be taken off the road after a pint glass was thrown at the windscreen. It happened in Chelmsley Wood in the early hours of New Year's Day. The driver wasn't hurt, but the windscreen is having to be replaced, so it can't be sent to emergencies at one of the busiest times in the history of the ambulance service. Sport and BBC WM Sport comes live from Crofton Park in Northumberland this afternoon as Birmingham City face the tricky matter of an FA Cup third-round tie at Northern Premier League side Blyth Spartans. The only place you can hear the match in FM is here on 95.6. Blues manager Gary Rowett has suggested he may rest a few players following the busy festive schedule, but admits he doesn't want to take too many risks against a team who play three divisions below the Football League.
I know for one thing for sure, you know, we'll be fully prepared going into this, and I think that's often the downfall of a bigger club, is that sometimes they take the opponents lightly and perhaps don't realise quite what a lower league team can actually achieve when they've got 11 players desperate for success.
Tony Pulis will be officially in charge of West Bromwich Albion for the first time this afternoon as they host conference side Gateshead. He'll be watching from the stand to get a bird's eye view of his new squad after only having them for one training session so far. Wolves head to London for an FA Cup third round tie against Fulham at Craven Cottage this afternoon. They'll be without Kevin McDonald, who's suspended, and Courtney Hawes, who's cup tied. Finally, it's League One action for Walsall as they host Coventry City this afternoon. The Saddlers are 3 points off the playoff places following last Sunday's 3-0 win at MK Dons. The weather, rain clearing this afternoon, the top temperature around 3 Celsius, 37 Fahrenheit. Clear skies tonight, there'll be widespread frost and fog in places, very cold. Temperatures right down tonight to minus 4 Celsius, 25 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
You should take in other religions and treat them as you would want to be treated yourself.
We are even more intelligent. They treated me with the utmost respect.
Ian Lee, Saturdays,
9 till 12.
BBC WM 95.6.
Ah, man alive. So, we've talked about assisted suicide, how old are you in heaven, constipated goldfish, and buses. 03453 00956.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453 00956.
BBC WM 95.6.
You've got to love ISIS, haven't you? There's a sentence you don't often hear on the radio. I think it's ISIS. This is brilliant. This is brilliant. Jihadis told to disrupt global travel in the West hack into the Bristol bus timetable by mistake. Bungling Islamic cyber terrorists hoping to bring the Western world to a halt hacked a Bristol bus timetable website by mistake. The group calling itself Dark Shadow. Dark Shadow. Seized control of the Travel West site on New Year's Day in a plot to sabotage journeys across the West. But it only covers the West Country, listing times of buses between Bristol, Bath and Western. Superman, you plums! Yeah, in your face, jihadis! Instead of information about travel updates, commuters were greeted by a black screen filled with white Arabic writing. The hapless hackers, who described themselves as an Arab security team, posted a link to a Facebook page. It's believed the extremists mistook the Bristol website for a more influential one promoting travel around the Western world. Terry, can you believe this?
What's that, mate?
The jihadis. I say that as though, with, you know, that's a whole... Some jihadi group has been told to attack Western travel infrastructure, so they hacked into the Bristol bus timetable service.
I'm surprised they've got the intelligence to do that.
Well, they've done it.
Ooh!
Student Braden Turner from Western Supermare wrote, "Oh, no. However will I catch my daily bus to college without the timetable? I guess I'll have to use the one on the bus stop like some sort of savage." Terry Julian's messaged, "Can you tell me what time the next bus is into Bristol Centre, please? Idiots."
Well,
here's a good one from Jenny Johnson. Oh, I wish terrorism was as much fun as this all the time. Jenny Johnson from Gosport said, "It's a flipping bus timetable website. Well, hard to hack something so big." Oh, bless her. And someone said, "Ha-ha, you bunch of twits."
Oh, you what?
Twits.
Oh, well, that's putting it mildly.
That's putting it mildly. I wish terrorism was more like this, where it was, you know, it's quite a horrific thing. But when it's idiots like this just hacking into Bristol bus timetable service, I think we could cope with that.
Well, yeah, but it just goes to show what complete morons they are anyway.
Yeah, he's complete morons, they are.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Tell, what you got for us? How old would you be in heaven?
Well, to be honest, I mean, this might be controversial, but I think you will create your own heaven and hell.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry, but that wasn't what I was going to talk about.
Look at you old head. Pass the reefer, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, but hang on a minute. But if you create your own heaven... What are you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
At the minute, I'm making some toast.
Oh, what are you going to have on it?
Raspberry preserve.
Oh, I say, but raspberry preserve. Is that the same as jam?
Well, I suppose it's posh jam. I got no Marmite.
I tell you what, my favourite thing on toast, so middle class, hummus. Wee, bit of hummus on there. Beautiful. Beautiful, Terry. Yeah, hummus on toast, totally.
Oh,
yep,
I probably couldn't afford that.
No, I'm very wealthy. Tell you what, I'll show you how wealthy I am. This is what I've been having over Christmas.
Yeah.
Quince jelly.
Sounds nice.
Quince jelly, a nice bit of cheese.
Yeah.
Let's be having you.
Well, that takes us on to why I'm ringing up, doesn't it?
In a what's-name sort of way. Go on, then.
A tip for your sinuses.
Oh, yes, boss.
A bottle of cheap red wine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't matter whether it's cheap, but don't use the good stuff.
Yes.
Room temperature, of course.
Of course, yes. Yes.
Put it in your glass.
Yep.
Before you drink it, of course, you've got to enjoy drinking it.
Yes.
Get your nose in that glass and sniff the aroma. Get that aroma right up your nostrils, and that'll do you the world of good.
That's a cure for sinusitis.
Yeah, yeah. And I got that from a...
An alcoholic friend of yours?
No. He was a doctor. I was offered a nose job on the National Health. I thought, no, thank you.
Oh,
I'm going to end up, you know, worse than...
Terry,
and he says, use that totally unofficially.
Terry, is there a system that I could... I haven't had a drink for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to start down in wine just to clear my sinuses, because the mayhem that would ensue would not be worth it.
Don't drink it, then. Just
sniff it. Red wine's got weird... Here's something, right. Years ago, years and years ago, when I was earning silly, silly money, this is a lifetime ago, and I went on holiday to the Maldives, right?
Yeah.
And it was dead swanky. I was insane at the time, but I took a girl to the Maldives, and we're having dinner on the beach, right? And the wine menu came around. Now, what most people do at the wine menu, Terry, and so I was reminded of this by someone on Twitter the other day, is you look at it for 3 or 4 minutes and you choose the second cheapest bottle of wine. You don't choose the cheapest, you choose the next one. That's what most people do.
Right? Yeah.
What I did, because I was an idiot, I bought a bottle of wine for $400.
Yeah.
$400. 1964, this bottle of wine. And do you know what?
It was rubbish.
It was bloody awful.
I know.
It was cloudy and dusty. And it was horrible.
Yeah, get a bottle of Lambrini, £1.50.
What a waste of money that was. What a plum.
I know. A lot of snobbery in there with wine.
Isn't there just?
Oh, it's just idiocy. It's just silly.
I buy wine. I don't know anything about it. I was never a big wine drinker, but I buy wine for my mum sometimes, and I just go and get a bottle of Rioja that costs about £5.
Yeah.
That'll do, wouldn't it?
Does she like red or white?
She likes red. It's got to be Rioja.
Merlot.
Sorry?
Merlot.
Is that good?
Yeah, well, it's get about £6 a bottle, Merlot.
Beautiful, I'll get some of that then.
Hardy's Merlot.
Oh, all right, Terry, calm down.
Sorry.
Thanks for calling.
You take care.
Ta-ta. 03453 009956. Suddenly we're onto the world of wine. Well, don't we? You just buy wine by the price, don't you? You don't get the cheapest because that would be tight. We get the next one. That's how it works, isn't it, Terence? Terence?
Hello.
Hello, Terence.
Hiya, mate.
You're live on the radio.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello there. I'm
hiya.
Calling. Hiya, I've called in just to make a comment on your second discussion.
How old would you be in heaven, Terence?
Nobody knows.
Oh.
The Bible. Well, that gentleman that called up earlier, he's quite right in the fact that the Bible doesn't say what age.
Oh. So this was Edgar who said we.
But,
yeah.
But can I just say that in the beginning, God created man to live for eternity.
Sorry.
And.
We're quite some way off then. If kind of, I thought it was 70.
Yeah, but that was when sin entered into our atmosphere and world.
Oh.
Man was born to die then because of sin and the curse. But when we're back in heaven,
yeah,
when we're redeemed through Christ, we will live for eternity in heaven.
Will
we
have
will
we have clothes? Because Edgar seemed to think we'd be naked. Because came when we were sinful, when we had that old apple.
Well, the scriptures say, right, that when we see Christ, we will be like him. I don't know what that will be like, but he's an incarnate God.
I hope Jesus is wearing clothes, because I wouldn't know where to look. I wouldn't know where to look.
Me too. But at the same time, it also says that we'll be eternal beings.
So
we can't imagine, mate.
No.
We can't really... put an age on it, and that's all I've called to say.
I don't want to be around for eternity, though, Terence.
But what you've got to understand is, what we can argue this, that we don't want to, but the fact is we will. Because you've got an eternal soul.
Well, the fact is, we don't know that that's the fact. That's your belief.
Okay.
But it's not a fact, is it?
Yeah.
Unless you've got hardcore evidence to show me, in which case I'm happy to go along with it.
I can't prove God, but can say that there's a difference between believing and knowing.
Yes.
I can say that I know.
Yep.
From my experience kind of thing with God. But that's my take on it anyway, just to throw it in there, you know.
What's your experience, Terence?
9 years ago, I had an encounter with Christ.
Blimey. Was he wearing clothes?
How can you explain the supernatural? It's very difficult. And he changed...
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
Changed my heart and the way I view life and everything.
But what happened though? What was going on?
You know, I all through my life as a teenage lad and growing up, I've always asked the question, why am I here? Why? What is the purpose to my life? I've always had that question, and God calls those who have faith in Him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've always grown up believing in God. I didn't come to the realisation that how...
But was there a moment, Terence, when you're lying in bed and suddenly Jesus comes down into your bedroom, wearing clothes or otherwise, and says, Terence, from now on you will follow me? Was there a moment like that, when you were struck?
It wasn't as clear as that, but what I tell people what happened to me was, like, he came to me many times and was calling me over a long period of time, but because of the way we are as people,
yeah,
you know what I mean? We want to do our own thing, and I just submitted to the love that I felt and the fact that you could say that I saw him with his hands held out continually in a long kind of gown they kind of wear. And I knew who he was because of what the Bible said about Christ.
Terence, listen, thank you very much indeed. I'd love it. And it sounds like I'm knocking religion. I'm kind of slightly envious. I'd love to be a Christian. Imagine having complete faith, right, that whatever you do now, as long as you repent, you're going to live for eternity as in Christ's back garden. That would be awesome to be able to have that faith, wouldn't it? 03453 009956. The question of the day is, how old are you in heaven? Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz.
Thanks, Ian. There's problems on the M6 going south. The lane blocked, the vehicle has broken down between Junction 5 and 4A, Castle Bromwich, the M42 interchange. It's lane 1 that's blocked, although traffic is coping okay approaching and passing the scene. It's busy in Bromsgrove on Market Street around Recreation Road near to the supermarket, but not looking too bad in the centre of Birmingham currently. As you head towards the M42 and the M1, Blues fans are off to Blyth on Tyne and Wear for this afternoon's FA Cup game. Then on to the A1M. It's all looking fine along that route if that's the one you choose to take to go to that match this afternoon. Wolves fans are going to London for their game against Fulham. The M40 is clear so far, and no reported problems either on the M25. On public transport, the tram service is suspended between Wolverhampton, St George's and the Royal. That's because of engineering works. If you can update us, 08453 002 88.
Penn, Pensnet,
Rugeley, Redditch,
Rowley Regis.
Have your say across the West Midlands.
BBC WM 95.6.
Levels are all over the shop this morning, but I think that's partly because I'm actually going deaf. And one of my things to do this year is to go and get my ears tested. A terrible, terrible tinnitus. Why? Because I have my headphones way too loud. It's progressive. Oh, I was in bed the other night and the whistling that was going on was awful. I had to download an app on my phone. I've got it here. Right, this is what I have to listen to if I'm in a silent room to stop me going completely, completely insane. Hang on a second. This is what I have to listen to. I have to have that playing. Drowns out the tinnitus. It's on the same frequency. Well, this is rain. So I have this. So it sounds like I'm in a tropical jungle. There are other ones on here. There's this. I don't like this one. Oh, this one doesn't work. Hang on. Oh, no, that one's not working. Hang on. This is the white noise. Oh, blimey. The tinnitus is... And do you know what the cure is for tinnitus? Oh, I don't have to turn this off. There we go. The cure is for tinnitus? There isn't one. The cure is lump it. Get on with it. Deal with it. So I've got that going on. And then I'm going deaf. And I was at a party before Christmas. By the way, remind me, I'm never going to a Christmas party ever again. They're blooming awful. I went and it was flipping awful. Oh, dearie me. Anyway, and I couldn't hear a word anyone was saying. And they were all hearing each other. I couldn't hear them. If there's hubbub, it drowns out every noise. The hubbub drowns out conversation. Flipping awful. Ian, Martin says, nowhere in the Bible will you find the words immortal and soul used together. I'm afraid there is no heaven going. So the hope a true Christian has is resurrection from the death state at Jesus' return. Okay, I'm going to take... It's been a long time since I've read the Bible. I used to know all the books of the New Testament in order. I used to go to, like, quite a hardcore Sunday school and Wednesday club. They were, twice a week. They were, is it Pentecostal? Are those the kind of happy clappy ones? It was Pentecostal. And we used to play a game. Imagine, I was seven, right? You play a game, you get your good news New Testament Bible. You'd stand up, sheathe your swords, right? You'd have it under your arm, right? Draw your swords. You'd hold the Bible above your head like this, right? And then they would name a passage in the Bible, Corinthians 2, chapter 3, verse 11. You'd find it. The first person to read it out, I guess, would go to heaven quicker. I don't know. I guess that's what would happen. I'm not totally sure. 03453 009956. Martin again. Keeping a fish is a hobby. I mean, guys, come on, really? When I kept tropical fish in the 70s, I never saw them as pets. I did, however, have a particularly intelligent Oscar Kitchlid. What? When on returning from work would swim up and down the tank excitedly at seeing me. Oh, you are having a laugh. You are actually having a laugh, Martin. There was a fish that you had that would recognise you and would swim up and down the tank to say hello, but would swim away and hide if strangers approached. No, that is... If only we had a vet that I could go to. Oh, hang on a second. We got William Wildgoose, who's a vet in East London. Good morning, William.
Good morning, Ian.
We've got you on to talk about this crazy goldfish story. But what's this? An Oscar kitchlid. Have you heard of this fish?
A cichlid.
A cichlid. I apologise. And it could recognise people.
Well, the fish do recognise objects. They also recognise where the food comes from as well. So it's always difficult to say whether it's true recognition or not.
Gosh. William, you must be aware of this story that someone paid £300 to save a constipated goldfish. Listen, I am a pet person. I have a cat, and I said before, when my cat got very ill a few years ago, I gave her to the vet, and I said, whatever it costs, even if you don't think the insurance will cover it, fix her. But a goldfish, William?
Well, that's not so unusual. Everyone has their own attachment to their own pets, whether they're insects or snails or fish or cats or dogs. Everyone has an emotional bond to their pets, and they all have their own priorities about how much they're willing to spend. Providing the procedures or whatever treatments required is going to be in the interest of the fish or the cat or dog.
You mentioned pet snails.
That's right. Giant African snails are sometimes kept as pets.
Blimey, how giant are these African snails?
Well, they're about 3 or 4 inches in size.
Oh dear! Oh, dear. And what can go wrong with a snail? What illnesses do they get, and how would you treat one?
Well, I can't say that I treat many African snails myself, but they get various parasites. They also get certain nutritional deficiencies, which lead to weakening of the shell.
Yeah.
They're different to fish, which is more my special area.
So fish is your specialist area, and it must be really difficult to operate on a goldfish. I mean, the vet in question here sounds like she did an amazing job by managing to get the thing that was, what's her name, Faye Bethel, managed to cut open the fish, get the stuff out, and sew him back up. That seems remarkable.
Well, there's a number of procedures that are possible on fish. They're just different to animals. You use a slightly different approach, but the principles are the same. You anaesthetize the fish so that it doesn't feel any sense of awareness, and you can remove or you can treat it medically, depending on what procedure is being carried out.
And what's this? It says here in the paper that she used a special glue to cover and waterproof the fish's scales.
Well, this is usually a tissue glue, which is the same as is quite often used in human surgery to repair small skin wounds. And it's like the instant glues that you can buy in the DIY stores. It fixes very quickly.
Gosh. And how would you... And it says here that the fish was gradually reawakened. How do you wake a fish up, William, from anaesthetic? Did you let it come round naturally, or do you splash water on it? What do you do?
Well, as she sort of described in her article, basically the anaesthetic agent is put into the water. The fish swims around in that solution for a few minutes until it becomes unconscious. They then took it out of the water and pumped anaesthetic solution through the mouth and over the gills, which is like just being put on an anaesthetic machine as far as a dog or a human being is concerned. And once you finish the procedure, it's a matter of just removing the fish and putting it back into fresh, clean water and letting it resuscitate itself that way. It literally just recovers in a couple
and
of minutes.
Whereas if you had somebody who was a person who was under, you'd pump air into them. I'm assuming you're pumping water through the fish, are you?
That's right. Well, when the fish is anaesthetised, you're pumping a solution of the water and the anaesthetic agent. And it's just like an artificial breathing system, and it helps keep the fish unconscious for however long it's required. It's unusual for the operations on fish to last for as long as this one did, but that's presumably why it was expensive, partly because of technical skill, but also because it's quite a prolonged procedure.
William, listen, keep up the good work. I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. William Wildgoose, a vet in East London, specialises in pet fish medicine and surgery. Now, he mentioned the giant African snails, and I'm reminded, actually, I have seen these snails because my boys have got stick insects. Sticky Licky and his four friends. I would not pay a single penny to save those guys, the stick insects. I wouldn't pay a penny to save them. They're stick insects. They're really, really boring. I wouldn't pay that much to save the rabbit. I would. That we had... I hope my boys aren't listening. The first rabbit died. The first rabbit died. So, yeah, I know. And we told them that he ran away. And a few weeks later, Benji came back. We found Benji again. The first rabbit died. That was sad. That was sad, Anne, when Benji died. Hello? Anne?
Hello.
I can't do it. Hello, Anne. What have you got for us?
Well, I thought you were looking for subjects to cover in your programme today.
It's a weird one today. Yeah, go on.
I came across letters this week in the national newspapers regarding a place in Surrey called Ash in Surrey where some people have moved into a house near the local clock and they've managed to stop this clock from chiming at certain hours during the night.
Oh, this happens a lot, where people move near a church clock or a clock in the town centre and then they get funny about it ringing. There's a place in Buckinghamshire as well, I think, where they've done this, and all it takes is two or three people to complain, and then they have to switch the clock off.
That's right. Well, apparently it says they love the life. When they moved there, they moved there because they love the life.
They love the life.
The part of the life is that clock that's been going off for maybe hundreds of years. And I thought, well, around the Midlands, there are so many bell towers and clocks going. I wondered if it might get some of your listeners interested in making a comment.
Going off on a very slight tangent, why are religions so noisy? And I'm thinking predominantly Christianity and Islam. They're enough noisy, aren't they? Islam, you've got the call to prayer, which is very, very loud. And Christianity, you've got those flipping bells.
Yeah, of course, bells were used for other reasons as well. I mean, you didn't have radio in those days, and bells were used to warn about fires or war, or they had certain methods of ringing, and the people listening knew exactly what was going on.
Are you a campanologist?
I have been a campanologist. I've rung bells for 30 years.
So. I was detecting more than your average passion for bells there.
Oh, well, I was born with bells. I was born in Evesham, and of course they've got a fantastic bell tower there.
So would you do the ringing at weddings?
Oh, yes, I haven't done it, no, I haven't rung for 30 years.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have rung for weddings.
I like the bells at weddings. I think that's a majestical sound.
Yeah, I've rung them for armistice, Sundays.
Is that thing that happens in films ever possible, where someone pulls the bell and then doesn't let go and gets pulled up to the belfry? Could that actually happen?
Oh, yes, that can happen.
Can it really?
Yeah, a bell has got what they call a wooden stay.
Yeah.
It's a very fragile piece of wood, so that if the bell does go over it, it's better for the wood to snap and let the bell go round rather than to be a rigid stop for the bell. So, yes, if that happens, you let the rope go.
Blimey.
Because it will wrap itself,
Have you ever seen it happen? Have you ever seen anyone get yanked off?
No, I've never actually had that happen.
No,
I've had one or two hairy moments.
Yeah.
But, no, I've never actually been in a tower when that's actually happened.
How much practice did you have to put in? Because it looks easy, doesn't it? But there must be a real rhythm and almost like a psychic connection between you and the other people.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's a science as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they do continuous changes for 4 or maybe 5 hours without each bell repeating the change.
Yeah.
So it is a science as well. Yes, it takes a lot of practice. Some people get it very quickly. I was in my 40s when I learnt, so I was slower than the younger ones.
Yes.
But, it takes a lot of practice. And, of course, ringers do practice every week. And these people have actually complained about the band of bell ringers going up there and complaining about them practicing in the evenings.
Well, but it can be a little bit annoying, can't it?
You either like them or you don't. I think most people do like them because it's amazing how many weddings they want the bells for the weddings.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm near a tower here where I hear them ringing bells. They were ringing bells actually, I think, on Boxing Day for a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Anne, I don't know if anybody's going to be quite as passionate about the bells as you are, but I'm going to throw it open and see if anybody wants to join in.
Well, I just thought that Birmingham's got a lot of churches, so there must be a lot of people living near them.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got a comment to make.
And thank you very much indeed. Maybe you've got a comment to make. 03453 009956. We are nothing if not a democracy here, and we're not a democracy. But people want to phone in with stuff. You can. I went out with a bell ringer. Make your own jokes. But I did. And there's something kind of geeky, old-fashioned, cool about it. I tell you what you don't see. You don't see handbells. You don't see people playing handbells anymore. And also, as well as handbells, you don't see people playing wine glasses anymore, Producer Joe.
You mean swirling around the top? Because most of them aren't crystal. You can only do that with crystal glasses,
yeah,
can't you?
You don't see anyone doing that. That used to be... The Saturday Night Television in the 70s was full of people playing wine glasses, licking their fingers and rubbing wine glasses. There's a name for that as well. And I impressed myself by remembering campanology. But there's a name for people who play wine glasses, and I can't think what it is. 03453 009956. George, what do we call people who play wine glasses?
I'm not sure.
Oh, there's a word for it, and it's not lush.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, George.
Okay, well, you've not called in about that, have you?
No.
Okay, go on. What have you got, boss?
Yes, in response to the question, will we grow old in heaven?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Reason being, we are dealing with two commodities here.
Yes.
Time and eternity.
Time and eternity. Time and eternity.
Yes.
Yeah.
As human beings, which we are called mortal, we are now living in time.
Oh, blimey. I got a feeling this is going to get very heavy very quickly. Welcome to all our new listeners.
We're not living in time.
Yes.
But in heaven, it's timeless.
Okay, well, what time when would lunch be?
There won't be any lunch time.
What?
We are dealing with eternity.
Well, hang on a minute. I thought. So when do you eat?
We're dealing with eternity. Can I just mention, when man was created,
yes,
as somebody said earlier, he was created to live forever. He was created to live in eternity.
Because all the original dudes in the Bible, they all lived for like 700-800 years. Noah was like 700 years old or something, wasn't he?
Yes, and they would live for eternity if sin hadn't entered into the world.
Yep.
But because sin entered into the world, we call it the fall.
Yes.
Then death was pronounced upon man.
George, listen, there has to be food in heaven, otherwise I am not going. I thought we're supposed to all drink ambrosia. Uh-huh. Hello?
Yeah, are you finished?
I was having a conversation. I don't know. You?
There's no time. So you cannot measure time by saying this time is dinner time, the next time is tea time or whatever.
Is there food in heaven?
I won't be able to tell you. The Bible said the tree of life will be there. Life will be sustained because Jesus himself will be there to feed us.
So Jesus is going to be is going to feed us?
Yes.
I'm hoping it's not bread and fishes.
I don't think so.
Okay, what lamb?
Well, I can't say.
Okay,
we cannot compare heaven to earth.
Right,
because first of all, it won't be our mortality that will enter heaven.
No,
so we won't be in the flesh.
Will we be naked?
I can't say. Listen to me,
George. You're giving me more questions than answers.
We won't be going to heaven as we are. We will be glorified bodies.
Some people don't need glorified bodies, although I could do with one or two. Now, George, the thing is, if you're right, I'm going to look like a ripe plum, and you can come up to me in heaven and you can say, aha, I told you so. But if you're wrong, and there is no heaven, you're going to feel really silly, aren't you?
But there is a heaven.
But if there isn't, you're going to feel really silly, aren't you?
I would be feeling silly, and that's exactly why we serve the Lord, because he promised in Scripture, which I believe 100%, not because of my natural thinking or because of my natural faculty, but because of the spirituality that is within me.
George, thank you.
The voice of Birmingham in the Black Country.
BBC WM
95.6.
Gosh, golly gosh, 03453009956 is the phone number. How old will you be in heaven? Will there be clothes? Tell me there's going to be food there, man. Surely it's 2-for-1 Tuesday every single day, isn't it? It has to be. It's heaven, for crying out loud. Blimey. 03453009956 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. Now, I haven't had a drink for 10 years. Man, I'm thirsty. You see what I did there, Bernie? Made a little jokey joke. Thank you very much, my darling. Very kind. She bought me a coffee. No, I haven't had a boozy drink for years. No, over 10 years. But I'm really tempted to start drinking again. Why? Because it's dry January. I said about this on yesterday's show. Friday's 2 till 4. And I don't get dry January. First of all, I thought it was for charity, like the Ice Bucket Challenge. Or no makeup selfie. But it's not. You can do it for charity, but that's not what it's for. I don't know what it's for. Is it just to clean your liver? Well, in that case, grow up. Just grow up. Just grow up. Drink better. I can't do. When I get angry, I do squinty eyes, but I can't because my face is full of mucus. Happy sinusitis, guys. But I don't get the... And now look at this. Page 6 of the Daily Star. Who's Britain's best-loved boozer? Producer Joe, who's Britain's best-loved boozer?
Paul Gascoigne?
No. Farage. Farage, Matt, is Britain's best-loved boozer, isn't he? Matt?
Hello?
Why can't you guys do this here? Whenever we're just having a conversation, Matt.
Yes, well, just listen.
No. Oh, flipping heck.
It's time, gentlemen, please.
Right. Pint-loving politician Nigel Farage has given up booze.
Yes.
Yes.
What has he given up booze for?
I'm going to tell you, Matt.
See, well, we're not worried I'm not what he does, you know.
No. But the
gentleman
steady.
That was on... Just a minute, please.
What? I'm talking
Let
to...
me take over for Flip a second, it. Will you?
Go on, then.
The other man that was on about talking about heaven...
Yes.
We're not so sure about what is on the other side, but we're all hoping that there might be a better place than here and people not killing other and fighting among one another over a few pound. And the song is, in the land where we never grow old.
Oh, blimey.
Never grow old, never grow old.
What
in the land where we never grow old. Now, how was that for you?
That was bloody awful. What was that?
Well, that was about the land. It's a song about the land where we never grow old. And
I got that, yeah.
Heaven isn't mentioned, but we presume it might be, you know.
Right. And where's that, then? Ireland?
No, it's not. It's not Ireland. And if it was, I wouldn't be going back there at all because I never haven't been there for 70 years.
I've got a song, Matt.
Yes?
That's as good as that.
Go on, give it to us.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble.
He's gone. It works. That's all we need. I'm all about that bass, about that bass. That's how we get rid of Matt. That's very, very handy to know, isn't it? Isn't that handy to know? 03453009956. Pint-loving politician Nigel Farage has given up booze. The UKIP leader, frequently photographed with a beer in his hand. Imagine that's what you're famous for. Frequently photographed with a beer in his hand, has signed up to Dry January. Farage, 50, who's... I still don't know how to say his name. I think it's Farage. Farage, 50... whose pint-in-hand photo opportunities are part of his Man of the People image, has vowed to stick to orange juice for the rest of the month. The anti-EU MEP revealed his plan as he poked fun at his rival's New Year promises, claiming the differences between them were barely noticeable. He said, "As for me, you're going to love this one. It's not a joke, I promise. Next time you catch me in a pub, I shall have a glass of orange juice in my hand. How's that for unpredictable? His promise comes after his German-born wife, Kirsten, had declared he smokes and drinks too much. Thousands are giving up booze for alcohol. This is what I don't understand, OK? Farage to one side. I mean, I don't understand him. But to one side, I don't understand Dry January. Thousands are giving up booze for alcohol concerns annual Dry January campaign aimed at raising awareness of alcohol abuse. And boy, you do not want to be in the pubs come February the 1st because it's going to be a nightmare in there, isn't it? It's going to be an absolute car crash. Is anybody doing this? Because I've heard lots of people, I've heard people from Alcohol Concern on the radio saying, well, loads of people have signed up for it. Loads of people are doing it. But I don't know anybody who's actually doing it. 03453 009956. Have you, I mean, and you sign up for it. So you register online. And what happens if you break it and have a drink? What, would you get told off? Well, I've got no idea. 03453 009956. Can somebody explain to me the point of Dry January? Just grow up. Just drink better. Surely. That's all you need to do, isn't it? Isn't it? We're talking about that, and we're talking about heaven. How old would you be in heaven? And is there a difference? Because we had a Muslim gentleman on, whose name escapes me, but he said that you'd be 23 years old in heaven. Between 20 and 25, as though that's the optimum age. Come on, guys. We know the optimum age is 17 for blokes and 46 for women, isn't it? Manny's in Willenhall. Good morning, Manny.
Morning.
Do you understand Dry January?
No. Silly.
Are you going to be boozing through January?
I was boozing yesterday and the day before.
This morning?
A bit early.
Yeah, but you consider it?
Not really.
No? You sound a bit hungover, Manny.
From last night.
Oh, blimey. Listen to your dry mouth.
I know.
You should maybe you should consider a dry 2015.
No good. You do the best show in the world.
Thank you, Manny. That's very kind of you to say so.
Yeah. You do the best show. You know, there's a guy who comes on your show, Ranjit.
He definitely is drunk.
Hello?
Manny?
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you sure you're not drunk? How much did you drink last night?
Only three cans and three shots.
Okay, were they... How big were the cans?
Normal size.
Okay, and what time did you finish drinking?
10:15.
Oh, okay, so you had an early one, Manny?
Yes.
Okay, good lad. Are you going to go out for a booze up tonight?
No, because I have to drink at home because I'm blind. I can't walk to the pub.
This is fantastic news. We are so popular with Birmingham and the West Midlands blind community, and also with a load of boozers as well. Hang on a minute. I think they changed the law, Manny. I think blind people are allowed in pubs now.
I know.
I'm sure I read that somewhere.
It's a bit difficult to get down there in the night.
Have you not got a guide dog?
No.
Have you not got any mates?
4 years for a guide dog.
Is that how long you got to wait? Is that the waiting list?
4 to 5 years.
Flipping heck.
Yeah.
Flipping heck.
I got a steak.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got a steak, but somebody's not available every day, you know what I mean?
People. Do you get the stick immediately, or is there like a 3-year waiting list for that?
No, to wait 6 months, you've got to do a training course.
Manny, with the greatest of respect, you could have made your own stick, mate. You just get stick and you cover it in white tape.
I've got a broomstick and just painted it white.
Yeah, exactly. What training course is there for a stick?
What's what?
What training course is there for a stick?
Oh, they take you around, you know, so you know where the footpath.
Yeah. But you know where the footpath is. You could see the footpath before you went blind.
They don't give you one, do they? If you don't do the thing, then they don't give you the
You stick. Just make your own stick, Manny. You could probably buy one on eBay.
You can't.
Manny, stay there. I want to talk to you after this. Let's get the travel with Liz.
Thanks, Ian. The M6 going south, still a lane blocked as a vehicle has broken down between 5 and 4A. That's Castle Bromwich to the M42 interchange. We're getting word of problems on the M5 going north, an accident between Junction 3 at Halezone and Junction 2 for Oldbury. Lane 1 is blocked there and traffic is OK approaching and passing the scene. Still busy in Bromsgrove this morning around Market Street as you head along towards Recreation Road near to the supermarket. Not too bad on the motorway routes this morning. It's looking fine for Blues fans heading to Tyne and Wear via the M42 and the M1. Wolves fans going to West London for their game against Fulham this afternoon. The M40 clear so far towards the M25. On public transport, tram services are suspended between Wolverhampton and the Royal because of engineering works. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel 08453 0022 88.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM
95.6.
So, Manny.
Yeah.
You complete it. Can you fail the blind white stick training course?
I don't know.
Well, did you pass?
Yeah, because I got one.
Oh, there you go, you see. So, what, for those 6 months then, what, you're not allowed out?
No, you can go. It's up to you, but they you know, they prefer that you go out with a stick.
Who are they?
I don't know. The social service blind.
Oh, like the blind police.
Yeah.
Oh, flipping heck. Isn't that Killjoys?
Before I had my stick, I used to walk down the street and I touched a woman by mistake. You know, you're feeling your way up, you know what I mean?
Steady.
And
you felt your way up and got in trouble?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to be... Come on, Melly, please.
You know, yesterday, I listened to your programme.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, this guy's balmy, listen to him.
Yeah.
And she couldn't stop laughing, we should listen to you.
Who was laughing?
My missus.
What's her name?
Pardon?
Hello, what's... I think his ear is going as well. What's her name?
Why?
I want to ask her out on a date. I don't know, we're having a conversation, Manny!
She's sleeping, man. Anyway, listen, you know the guy that comes on your phone, on your radio, Ranjit?
Roger Ramjit, yeah.
Yeah, you can take your... He did a show on an Indian station, you know, on a Wednesday.
He does what?
He does a show on Indian station on a Wednesday. I'll listen to him.
Flipping heck.
I'm going to take your programme off you.
Hey, Manny, are you Indian?
Yes, Sikh.
Can I blow your mind?
Go on.
Right. I haven't got any echo.
It's all about the bass, baby bass. Go on.
No, I'm officially gonna blow your mind now, right?
Yeah, go on then.
Do that again.
let me just take my drag off.
You have a drag on your fag?
Yeah.
Classy.
It's all about the bass. How's your face, Ian Lee? It's all about the bass.
Okay, now can I blow your mind?
Go on.
Perdesi, perdesi, janana hai. Mujhe chole ke, mujhe chole ke.
God.
Yeah, Manny, you see? Who's impressed now, Manny, eh?
I'm impressed.
I've blown your mind, haven't I, Manny?
You're number one, man.
Do mera, do mera, hero number one.
Hey, you're number one.
Yeah, you see? I've got an Indian song for every occasion.
Yeah.
I haven't. I've only got one left, and I'll save that for later. Anyway, Manny, what the hell do you want?
Nothing. You.
Here we go. Just
Calling
thinking.
Your dad.
When you
people off.
When you go to heaven, Manny.
Yeah, there's Witherspoons there.
There's what? Medicine.
Witherspoons.
How much is the breakfast in Witherspoons in heaven? Free.
£3.50.
Blimey! Do they have 2-for-1 Tuesday in heaven every day?
Guinness.
You're beautiful. Will you be able to see in heaven, Manny?
Of course I will.
Yeah. Well, then it's a place worth going. I'll see you in Wetherspoons in heaven in about 30 years' time.
Probably about 2 years' time.
Thank you, boss. Ta-ta. Yeah, or maybe this year for me. I had a prediction at the... Get this, June. Thank you, Manny. That was a fun call. I enjoyed that. June, I had a prediction at the age of 17, I was going to die at the age of 42.
Yeah.
And this year, June, I turn 42.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're less than half my age, then.
Oh, well, is that a come-on?
No. Oh, come on, you'd get on me bloody nerves, you would.
Oh, blimey. Well, the thing is, I wouldn't stay long.
That'd be too long.
We'd just have a little...
Why don't you do the programme like you used to? You used to enjoy it.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean, like I used to?
You used to bit lovely. You're getting on my nerves a bit now.
What's changed?
Anyhow, listen. This is what I rang up about.
Yes, boss.
Danny Kelly.
Yeah.
He's give up drink for a month.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, he said he was, and then I heard him yesterday. He said he's going to give up for a month, and then he said, oh, yeah, but I'm going for my father-in-law's birthday at an Italian restaurant
right,
next week.
That's right. And before that, he did go to a pub with his friends. He said all he had to drink was black currant and fizzy water.
I don't believe him. I don't believe anything Danny Kelly says.
Oh.
I think he's a professional liar.
Oh, is he?
Yes,
but
yes.
But he said he's given it up because of his weight, to lose weight, because he does drink a lot.
Yeah, he's a big lad.
He's not alcoholic, but when he does go out, he has a lot to drink.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah. I know, I was listening yesterday. Don't listen. A word from the wise, June.
Yes.
Don't believe a single thing Danny Kelly says.
Why not?
Everything that comes out of his mouth is complete and utter guff.
Oh,
is he? Oh, you cannot trust him as far as you could throw him. And as you know, he's a big lad. You can't throw him very far at all.
I don't know. I've never seen him.
I've
seen his photo.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. He's 6'7", and he weighs about...
He is, and he's 6'6".
All right. I'm an inch out. What's an inch between friends, eh, June?
Yeah.
And he weighs about 23 stone.
That's right.
Yep. So I don't believe... Are you going to give up the booze?
Well, I don't drink. I have a glass of wine, half a glass of wine occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time I finish the bottle, it's gone flat.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Anyway, that's it.
Ta-ta.
Happy New Year to you.
Bye-bye, June.
And your family.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 03453 00956. So, I'm not a sports fan at all, as you know, and I get a lot of stick on this station for not being a sports fan. Well, you should be a sports fan because it's WN95.6. Well, I'm not a sport. I don't like it. But one sport I do like. The darts. The arrows. A little bit of the arrows. I love the darts. Right. I used to live around the corner from Ali Pally and I never went. Darts and snooker, for me, the sport of kings. But darts is... It says here in the mail, Range...
Hiya.
That darts... Where on earth are... Hello?
Hello.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah, unfortunately.
You can't get away from me, can you?
No, it says here... Joe, what did you say to Ranjit, the ridiculous idea you just said?
I think we should do a show from Ranjit's fish and chip shop on Friday.
Never going to happen, because I doubt it will pass health and safety.
What do you think, Ray? Ranj?
Sorry?
Can we come and do a show from the fish and chip shop on a Friday?
I've got a lot of your listeners that come in and they tell me that they... really like me and everything.
Really like you. Flipping. Yeah, they do, Range. You're a really big star.
Don't fade me out and don't cut me off.
Okay.
Listen.
So the darts have become posh, according to the Daily Mail. Sorry, Range, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good then.
Okay.
Prince Harry has been spotted at the darts.
Yeah.
It says here, several bananas, a Superman, a Jesus... A bearded Snow White are all in the cheap seats and mocking the £50 a head crowd at their trestle tables for not making enough noise. Oh, yeah, I heard about this. Boring tables.
Just like yourself.
Excuse me?
I haven't even listened to the last 30 seconds of what you've been talking about.
I'm talking about the darts, Ranj.
I don't know nothing about the darts. Anyway, on your programme yesterday...
Yes, Ranjit.
Yeah, you know when you was talking about that thing in the paper, you said you should have talked about that first yesterday, yeah?
Right.
And then you remembered right towards the end of your show, you've got something interesting to talk about.
Well, no, the whole show was quite interesting, but
no,
I remembered...
I listened to your show yesterday, it wasn't interesting.
Listen, so. I've had a couple of weeks off, Ranj. It kind of takes a while to get back into the...
Because you've been trying to, get better, because you've been beaten about the ring by everybody.
Excuse me, that's just a vicious rumour that's going around town.
That ring of yours must be sore now,
Steady. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Listen, you know that story you talked about, the woman in the paper yesterday?
Well, yeah, I'm at a slight disadvantage because I don't have it, but yes, there were a couple...
You really went off on one yesterday.
There were a couple who they're about to have their 12th baby... And they get several £1,000 in benefits.
Yeah.
But what the story didn't tell you until right towards the end was that they both work.
They're both. I mean, she's in a full-time occupation, they're, having babies for a start.
They're married, so the kids are being born in wedlock. They both work 20 hours a week as carers for the elderly. So all of the benefits they're claiming, it's not unemployment benefit, it's the benefits that encourage people to go back to work. So what's the problem?
No, you was going off on one and saying it was disgusting and everything. What's disgusting about it?
No, Ranjit, were you actually listening to
you?
Well, you weren't, mate, because if you had listened, you would have realised that I was taking on the persona of your atypical Sun reader saying it was disgusting, and then I made a significant point of highlighting the fact that they've both got jobs and they're doing absolutely nothing wrong.
You was giving the opinion, right, and let your listeners come in on this year, that listened to you yesterday, you were saying that it was wrong to have so many children. The thing is,
it was wrong to have what?
So many children.
No,
yeah?
I didn't
she's
say
a,
that.
She's in a full-time occupation.
Ranjit, I didn't say that,
she's
mate.
She's a baby maker. She's a baby maker.
So hang on a minute, are you being nasty?
No, I'm not being nasty.
Then what
What I'm saying is, you was criticising the benefit system. And
no, I wasn't. Like, Ranjit, were you not listening? I wasn't, though. No, I'm going to stick up for myself here, because I wasn't at all.
You've got to let
I was criticising...
Are we having a conversation here?
Well, yeah, but you're talking out of your backside, Ranjit. I was criticising their son for their merciless picking on of a young, hard-working couple.
The son tends to just pick on anybody that can't answer back. Right.
Well, if you'd read the whole story, you'd have realised she could answer back, because in the very last paragraph, the son approached her and she said, F off, if you print any effing more stories about me, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah, OK, listen, what I'm saying is, you know when you talk about these kind of things, you should be targeting the people that are in power, yeah, to stop these people claiming on benefit, not just this particular couple or anybody else.
But Ranjit,
what's
you've not
wrong
listened.
In this country, there is
I've
people.
I've got no idea what he's talking about. Because Ranjit, you've not listened. Ranjit, I'm not attacking anybody. I was attacking the son for having a go at this young family. You've got lots of kids who work really hard.
Listen to me. Are you part of the media? You are, aren't you?
Well, I work for the BBC, so I guess in your perception, yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yes, you
okay.
are part of the media.
Okay.
Yeah? What the media does is they pick on a little story, say, for example, immigration or something like people claiming benefits, and they exploit that story. But they don't tell the people that are running this country, why don't you change the rules?
But Ranjit, I don't think... honestly, you need to listen to me, mate, because I don't pick on...
Yesterday, you went off on one, and it was for about 30 seconds, 40 seconds, yeah? Which is a long time...
Ranjit, you missed the subtlety of the irony. Listen, first of all, the show, I never pick on migrants in this show.
No, I'm not saying about migrants.
Well, you
I'm
just mentioned
about
migrants.
Story yesterday.
Yeah, and secondly...
You get your producer to play that back to you.
All right,
yeah?
All right.
When you went off on
all right,
one...
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll tell
really
you what...
did go off on
okay,
one.
Okay, right, Ranjit. And just, well, Joe, can we get the recording from the end of yesterday's show where I went off on one? And Ranjit, just make it clear, because you're going
to... Up to the end, when you started talking about...
Okay, Ranjit.
You two, stop bickering, Ranj.
Okay, yeah.
What was the point you thought I was making, Ranj?
The point that you was making, right, that this person was having too many children and it was disgusting. And
okay, Ranjit.
That word disgusting.
Right, Ranjit. Joe, are we able to get that audio?
I will get that audio.
Ranjit, can I speak to you after the news at 11?
You can.
And I don't know, have you got a knife and fork there? Because you're about to get served a massive portion of humble pie, and I'd really like to hear you eating it on the radio.
All right.
Yeah?
Okay.
Ranjit, speak to you in a second. Joe, thank you very much indeed. He wasn't even listening to yesterday, because I wasn't having a go at that family. I'm going to enjoy this. I am going to enjoy this. 03453-009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You can give us a call about the darts. Oh, I want, in the next hour as well, I want to talk about Saudi aeroplanes. They're segregating passengers. Men sit with men, women sit with women. Oh, baby. Oh, baby, I love it. I love it. I'm in. I want to go and travel Air Saudi. Kids go in the hold. I'll have the kids. I'll have the kids. I'd sit with the kids with great pleasure. 03453-009956. 81333. Start your text WM. If you want to give us a call, it's... Oh, no, hang on, what's the phone number? Yeah, I just did that. 03453... We'll get there in the end. There's only another hour to go. Then Daz Hale comes on doing a professional show. Daz Hale and professional. Two words you'd never hear together. Oh, look, and Susan's having a go because I'm having a pop at Danny Kelly. Honestly, do not trust a single word that Danny Kelly says to you on the air.
The Voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 11 o'clock. Let's get the news now. Here's Nicole Pullman.
Buckingham Palace has said any suggestion of impropriety by Prince Andrew with underage minors is categorically untrue. It issued the statement after he was named in court papers in the United States.